good afternoon, my dear brethren and sisters. Readings from our first reading introduce us to a sequence of events which are concerning David. The events which, as we go through, we'll see that they lead us to David's greater son. Remarkable coincidences there are there and similarities. Briefly, an exodus from Jerusalem, deceitful friends, and a testing in the wilderness. We're going to look, first of all, at one of the Psalms, and it's the duality of the Psalms, which are fascinating in this respect. So I'd like you to come with me to Psalm 55, where we see there David in distress. Echoes, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Let's keep that in mind as we go through. Psalm 55, we're going into verse 3. Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me. In wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, when the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Go down to verse 10. Day and night they go about it on the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from their streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither it was he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from thee. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. A little further down, verse 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And finally, from this psalm, let's go down to verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him, yet broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Words which must have been very familiar to the Lord Jesus Christ, and very appropriate to his ongoing situation continually. And thoughts also that have anguished believers through the centuries. Seeking comfort in verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. When we think of these praises as applying to David in his immediate situation, we have read very recently in the book of Samuel of the cause for all of these problems, the cause of David's major problem, that is. From our reading today in Samuel, second book of Samuel, chapter 17, go back a chapter or two to chapter 11, if you would. We know the situation very well. The first three verses of 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David should have been leading the army. In fact, what he was doing really was just filling in time, wasn't he? The eye and the mind wander when we're just filling in time. They do, don't they? The three lusts, very readily surface. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. David succumbed, just as Eve did to the same lusts all those centuries before. Genesis chapter 3. You know it very well, don't you? Genesis 3, verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the sentence that was passed on Adam and Eve was the same sentence, in effect, that came to David. Reading from Deuteronomy, we read that, we won't be going there, but we know it very well, that under the Mosaic law, both David and Bathsheba, they should have been stoned to death. Compare the comment in that 11th chapter of the second book of Samuel. Verse 27, isn't it? Yes. Verse 27 of 2 Samuel 11. And when the mourning for Uriah was past, David sent and fetched Bathsheba to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. But, and this is the crunch point, isn't it? But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Go on to the next chapter, chapter 12. There's just one verse I want to look at there. After the death of that son, verse 24 of 2 Samuel 12, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. This is the point I want to make. And the Lord loved him. A contrast with that previous verse that we looked at. And the role of Solomon as David's successor, it had already begun because the Lord loved him. Thus, Absalom, the third son of David, who was born earlier, sees his position in jeopardy. He's aware very much of the favours that were bestowed upon Solomon. He sees his position in difficulty, and by now, two of his elder brothers had already moved off the scene. So the situation becomes dire for Absalom. But he's a cunning man. Look at the incidents that we see in chapter 17. Now, reading for today, there's a few points there that are fascinating to us because of the relevance in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, for example. And the coincidences. Verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel, we read, said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I'll arise and pursue after David this night. But Ithabel, who was he? Ithabel was Bathsheba's grandfather. So perhaps vengeance was on his mind. We see the opposing counsel or views of a deceiver versus a big columnist, as you might say. We've already read, go down to verse 19. And Jonathan and Ahimaaz are on the run with the news to David, but they come to a situation where they have to hide. Verse 19 tells us, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman into the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, let me go on over the brook of water. And when they sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. So we've got these two, inverted commas, spies, haven't we, of David, who were hidden by a woman. How reminiscent, isn't it, of the dialogue and also the actions of Rahab generations before. Another unique coincidence, but it's not, is it really? This woman, Rahab, was David's great-great-great-great-grandmother. And so we can see the line going through, can't we? And then we finished our reading, didn't we, in this 17th chapter of Samuel, with verse 27, 28, and 29. Another coincidence here. It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that are with him to eat. Well, they said, the people was hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. We've got two delightful coincidences here in those verses. David is brought sustenance that's listed there. If we were to go back, we would see that the list is very, very similar to that list of items we first meet David. When David brings for his provisions for his brothers who are fighting the Philistines in Saul's army. The list uniquely similar. But that's not the only association that is fascinating for us. The read there in verse 27 that David comes to Mahanaim. Well, what's unique about that? Well, in actual fact, Mahanaim was a city that was given to the Levites. We read that in Joshua. A Levitical city. And it was made a city of refuge. Mahanaim was made a city of refuge for the slayer to escape to. It has a particular significance also in an earlier mention. Mahanaim, that's where David came to. Come back with me, just a couple of verses I'd like you to look at in Genesis 32. Genesis 32. The background is that Jacob is again on his journeys, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met with him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, the host of God. And this is a place that Joshua said was a city of refuge, a place that Jacob had seen the angel host, a place of sustenance, a place of divine strengthening. Mahanaim. Brethren and sisters, this here today is our Mahanaim, our refreshing, a divine strengthening together. We move on in 4 to other coincidences of David and the Lord Jesus Christ. To both David and the Lord Jesus Christ, Jerusalem was very, very dear. Both of them wept over it. Both of them departed from it in a traumatic exodus. Come back in Samuel to chapter 15. We read it a day or two ago, didn't we? 2 Samuel 15. Going in at verse 13. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And so preparations are made to depart, go out from Jerusalem. Didn't the disciples also, in particular Peter, say something very similar to that that occurs later on in this chapter? Verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth and as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will my thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And then just a bit further down, verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, had his head covered, and went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up, weeping as they went up. So, one told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So, Peter has said something very similar to the Lord, didn't he? That in death or in life, we will go with you. We will not desert you. But here, David, weary, disconsolate, and concerned at the inevitability of impending events. Surely those were the thoughts in our Lord's mind too. And where do they go to? they went to Olivet. Mm-hmm. To Olivet, the place that was 1,000 years later, the site of Gethsemane. And the record now quite plainly tells us of the conspiracy of Ahithophel. And so could David write in the Psalms on the 41st Psalm, Psalm 41 and verse 7. This is the words of David, or the Lord through David. But think of the words as they relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. All that hate me, this is verse 7 of Psalm 41. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. Now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea. Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, lifted up his heel against me. Lifted up his heel against me. How apt that phrase is, because at the Last Supper, Jesus uses very much the same words. In the Gospel record through John, chapter 13, verse 18, we read, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that is eaten bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. John 13, verse 18, that is. What a coincidence, in a way, because Jesus had just gone round and washed the disciples' feet. Now, those of you who have washed feet will know that the heel is lifted up against you to wash and dry that foot. Judas, the deceiver, had done just so. Our records have intriguing shadows when we compare our reading for today in that 17th chapter of Samuel. Go back again there, we're going backwards and forwards, aren't we? Chapter 17, verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, to his household in order, and hanged himself and died, was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Oh, what beautiful coincidences these are, aren't they? Because we know very well that the situation and of Judas Iscariot, the deceiver, the one who had lifted up his heel against the Lord Jesus. You'll know the words very well. I'm going to read them from verse Matthew's Gospel through Matthew, chapter 27. I'm going to end verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed Jesus, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? Sin after that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You couldn't make it up, could you? It is the unique word of Scripture, the word of God, that speaks to us of the beauties of these things. And so we're required, yes, we are required to trust in our God just as David had done, and as our Lord had trusted in his Holy Father. So, this is the last reference. I'm going back again to Psalm 41. We've got words, again, of David, by inspiration, of his assurance that God was with him. Just as he is with us, brethren and sisters, just as he is with us. Psalm 41. Verse 10. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favourest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face for ever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for everlasting and to everlasting. Words of comfort for David. And words we're very sure that would have gone through the mind of the Lord Jesus on that time when the deceiver, the friend who had betrayed him, came to him. And so there's the confidence of assurance of David and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in that we're now about to undergo in the cup, the bread, Jesus said before instituting this feast, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The record goes on to tell us subsequently, doesn't it, of both of them coming from the wilderness. David in triumph to Jerusalem. And so, brothers and sisters, we do this until David's great son comes again in triumph to Zion through the wilderness that he has endured. And we pray that we may be among that saintly throng who go up with him, and in the future are able to partake yet anew of these ends.